right onto Nichols Road.
Hello. It's Sustainable House Day this coming weekend, so I'm up northeast of Melbourne at the moment to show you a couple of houses on the one property. There's even a place that's sustainably able to get you married. I'll explain more when we get there. Hey, Chris. Hello.
Hi.
I see you have a couple of dogs.
Yes, they're not mine. Their bark is definitely worse than their bite. Oh, so good. Don't worry.
Okay.
You two, shut up.
Oh, be quiet. See, that worked. Last year, Chris Wenburn and her friend Fern decided to do something together. And now I'm walking down a track on their property to see the results up close.
Well, there have been a lot of TV shows on, and I certainly was watching a lot of them and quite obsessed about tiny houses. And I decided that I would quite like to have a tiny house. And I came to visit Fern just as a weekend away, and we started talking about it. And she has a family of house builders, tradies. She's built a number of normal-sized houses herself, so yeah. Loves designing houses and building houses. And so we decided to build the first tiny house, which is mine, and then see where that went. And then her mum decided that she wanted one as well, so we've built her one too.
Next door to each other?
Yes, they are. So Merle and I are next door neighbours.
Are we going to meet Merle today?
We are going to meet Merle, yes. Okay. She's very excited to talk to someone about her tiny house. She loves talking about her tiny house. So I like efficiency. I like the idea of not having as big an impact on the environment, and not having to spend as much money on housing and be able to use that for other things. I have family back in Europe.
Yeah.
So that means that I can probably focus a little bit more on spending time there and the money on going to and fro as well, rather than just on how I live.
So we've entered Chris's house.
It is 7.2 metres long by 2.5 metres wide. Most tiny houses are around that size, especially the width, because that adheres to Australian road rules, which means that you can take this on the road without a permit. You can build them wider, but predominantly you tend to see them stick to that, so you don't need to go through a permitting process for moving them. It's 4.3 metres high at the highest point as well.
Substantially higher than a caravan.
Yes, yes, very much so. So most people say, well, why don't you just get a caravan? But as soon as they go into a tiny house, as I'm sure you're realising, the look and the feel and the sense of space is completely different. So my lowest ceiling height downstairs, because I have a loft bedroom, is 2.1 metres high in the kitchen, in the bathroom. And then in the loft, it is very low. It's approximately a metre high, but I don't even attempt to stand up there. So I sleep up there and I have some storage up there, and then in the morning I come down. I have a set of stairs I come down.
Oh, the set of stairs. Yeah. I didn't even notice until you mentioned that. That's so clever, because the first step down from your loft bed actually is the top of the bookshelf for your recipes and your fridge. That's your fridge.
Yes, yes, right. Exactly. And then there's storage within it, either through sort of cupboards or the steps. A couple of the different steps flip up, so you've got some sort of hidden storage in there. And then I've designed it so that I've got electrical points in the back of one particular area in the stairs so that I can plug my phone in and charge things. I have a little secret table that I can pull out so that it takes up minimal space in the stairs themselves.
Right.
This is my office on the other side, which is basically a flip-up at the end of a 3-metre IKEA kitchen.
It's reminiscent of a ship's galley in some ways.
Yes, and that's exactly what it is. It is a galley kitchen. But it is a full-size kitchen. So I have a full-sized gas oven, and I actually do have a Dometic fridge, which is an RV caravan fridge. But it means that it can run on 12-volt, 240-volt gas. And that's because I wasn't quite sure where I was going to end up. So I wanted to be capable of being off-grid if I wanted to be. My water comes from the shed roof, essentially. I do have guttering in my roof so that I could have my own little water tank at the back.
What about grey water?
So we're actually putting that in place at the moment, and that will feed my garden.
So that'll be just gravity feed, just down on a pipe, straight into the garden?
Exactly. My water pipe will go out into a horse trough, that it'll go through a filtering system through different layers, as you normally do with a grey water system, and then that will pipe through my beds so that it will feed underneath the plants as well.
Can I check out the bathroom?
Yes, come on in.
So this is the back end of what is a towable tiny house. Oh, okay, there's your toilet.
It's a composting toilet. Nature's Head composting toilet. So it has a separator in it. So it separates out liquids and solids.
Mm-hmm.
The liquids go into a little bucket at the front, so a container. They go straight in there. So all I need to do is flip up the seat when I want to empty that. I've got a little lid that I can screw on. I take that out and then I can get rid of the liquids. That happens probably every couple of days. And then the solids, you have a starter, like a core block that you soak in water and then you put in there. So that's got all the microbes in there. It doesn't obviously completely compost it down, but because there's a little fan coming off the side, it starts the composting process.
Mm-hmm.
It also means there's no smell. And then that will be emptied every probably 3 months into a compost bin that I've got around the corner, which I do put all my vegetable scraps and things in there. And then once that's full, then you leave that for a year. And then that means that all the pathogens will have been killed by the heat process of the compost and the microbes in there. And then it will be safe to put on whatever you want. Most people advise putting it on fruit trees and not on your vegetable garden because you don't want to have that conversation with your dinner guests.
No, you don't. No, I'm glad you raised that and we put paid to that straight away. That's good, but I'll certainly have an orange or two. That's fine. Yeah, okay. We're talking tiny houses here on Life Matters as part of Sustainable House Day.
Living tiny is the process of downsizing as well.
I'm with tiny house maker and resident Chris Wenban. And before we head over to see 82-year-old Merle, Chris's neighbour, there's something else on this property that's tiny.
So this is the tiny chapel on wheels which we've built, and it's just available now. It's just being finished off and it'll be available for people to have on their own properties or have at a venue of their choice, like a vineyard or a beautiful piece of countryside, so they can get married either inside the little chapel. You can get about 8 or 10 people in there, as well as the celebrant and the people getting married, or there's a veranda out the front. You can get married on that and have 200 people sitting watching you get married.
So in through the doors, here we come. Oh, look at this place.
So it's all recycled timber beams. That one is ironbark. And then these are all cedar windows, the arched kind of church-like cedar windows you'd expect to see in any kind of traditional church, with all those sort of black metal fittings. And we've even had our cabinet maker who did all of the woodwork, did a little metal cross at the front. And then there's a little hatch on the side, which is after the ceremony, when you go all go outside to have your champagne reception, you can have somebody in here, a bar person in here, serving from the chapel. So it turns into a bar in the evenings.
There's that old song, Going to the Chapel. That's old hat now.
Yes.
Now the chapel's going to you.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So yeah. I've even seen articles about minimalist tiny weddings are starting to be a thing, again, because of the affordability perspective that tiny houses is kind of looking at as well.
Should we go and meet someone else?
Yes,
who's
my neighbour.
Taken the tiny house model full on, because she's not only your neighbour, but kind of family through your business partner.
No.
Hello.
Hello,
Merle.
Michael, is it?
Yes, it is. Lovely to meet you. Can I come on in? Is that all right?
Of course you can.
So, Merle, you've got a very different configuration to your neighbour, Chris, here, haven't you?
Yes, it's two entirely different things. Mine is more invalidism. I've got the wrong word. I don't like that word.
I was thinking more fancy, if you don't mind me saying, and a bit more open, too.
Come and have a look, Michael.
All right. How long have you been living here?
3-4 months.
Oh, this is recently as that?
Yes.
Where
yes,
were you before?
I was on a houseboat for 3 years.
What have you missed about the houseboat? What do you love about here?
I haven't missed anything about the houseboat, which amazes me. I love the living. I love the warmth. I'm warmer here than I ever was in Queensland.
Really?
You'll realise when we go in. This here, Michael, this all closes down.
So on the very front of Merle's tiny house, there's both a... Oh, it's a plastic clear screen, plus you've got a kind of sunscreen as well. So you still get light coming through, but not lots of UV.
That helps to cut in the heat when it's cold. It's a fire screen as well.
As we look out on this beautiful view here that Merle has, and you have as well, Chris, I can see the spines of the trees that 9 years on are still completely denuded of branches and foliage because of the intensity of the Kilmore Reese fire, which rampaged through this area. It killed more than 100 people in that fire. And those trees are a grim reminder for everybody about just how risky sometimes this area can be. Have you both thought about this in situating your tiny houses where they are?
We permanently have a vehicle on site that will be able to pull the tiny houses out. And because they're on wheels, you can do that. So our fire plan is essentially if we were in a situation where we thought that there was a fire that had started nearby, we could very easily just hook them up and pull them out. Although Merle's tiny house has got a big veranda on the front, it unhitches very easily. The tiny house just tips away and you take a few planks out and then it can move out. And my tiny house is very similar to that. So
that reassure you, Merle?
Absolutely. I put my faith in my daughter there that she wouldn't be putting me at risk.
No. No, you don't provide this kind of thing unless you love your mother.
That's absolutely right.
Perhaps tiny houses and their ability to be mobile at a moment's notice could be a real advantage in certain bushfire-prone areas.
Bushfire and also flooding as well.
Merle, can I see inside your place?
Of course you can. You should have taken your shoes off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. What I mean there is that you really benefit from the underfloor heating.
I'm putting my hand down on the floor and I can feel it.
It's fantastic.
Merle, I noticed you don't have a ladder or stairs. How do you get into your bed?
Hop. Not that high though, mate.
Merle is pressing a button, I think. That noise is Merle's double bed descending out of the ceiling to land where she sits during the day.
But I have my skylight, look at it.
Along with the heated floor and the mobile bed, there are touch-open doors on all the storage cupboards so Merle doesn't have to pull a handle or turn a knob. The shower and the toilet have railings at appropriate heights. The pantry immediately reveals itself when you slide shut the bathroom door.
There's nothing in this home that isn't great, and I love the half hour of housework instead of four bedrooms or something.
Let's talk regulations. Is it right in my understanding that most states and territories, local government sees something with wheels on it in a very different light to something which is stumps on it?
Yes. So each state is actually different. So there are different rules around whether you can live in a structure like this. You have the road rules that you have to adhere to. So that's why generally most tiny houses are 2.5 metres wide and a 4.3 metres high. That's around the road rules. And then the building code at the moment, we don't, from a legal perspective, have to adhere to it, but all good builders will obviously build quality and, in fact, extra because you've got that aspect of the tiny house having to go on the road.
I'm 82 years old and I can manage this easily. I don't have to depend on carers. I'm completely independent.
Well, thank you very much, Merle.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you very much.
And Amanda, what I love about these forms of sustainable houses is that they're actually conserving resources and energy as they should, but they're also sustaining independent living for as long as possible.
I have to have a look at one.
Oh, they're great. I've got some photographs up online. You'll see Merle's house and Chris's. And the gold coin entry fee to Merle and Chris's tiny houses over the Sustainable House Day are going
to... So they're open to the public.
They are. This coming weekend.
Victoria.
That's right. But in fact, Sustainable House Day is national. So you can go to the site. I've got links up on Life Matters. And the gold coin goes to Transition Village Wallen. It's a local non-profit organisation which is working towards providing tiny houses for homeless people as they transition from sleeping rough. So that's pretty cool.